May 2021 examination session. I'm an IB language... IB... I'm an IB language A, language and literature student. Today in this individual oral, I'll be exploring the global issue of culture, but more specifically the idea of cultural assimilation as a result of migration. To do this, I'll be looking at two different texts which examine this concept. The first is an artwork by Sarah Barr, an Iranian artist who migrated to the United States at a young age. The artwork, entitled Memories Without Recollection, is a mixed-media textile flag produced in 2008. The second text, the novel Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, is a science fiction novel set in a futuristic society known as the World State. Its inhabitants are created and conditioned in centers with their destiny predetermined at birth. One of the protagonists, John, who is born outside of the society on a reservation, migrates to the World State with his mother. In the extract I've chosen from chapter 15, John rebels against the World State. An increasing number of people are either choosing to or forced to migrate to foreign countries. As a result, migrants are faced with two different cultures. In this oral, I'll be exploring the question, how do the two texts present the idea of cultural assimilation as a result of migration? Starting specifically with my extract, the artwork entitled Memories Without Recollection, Rabar illustrates the joy and pride that comes along with embracing two cultures. The base of Rabar's flag is the American flag, as seen by its characteristic blue and white stars, as well as some visible red and white stripes. However, most of the stripes are covered and interwoven with strips of traditional Persian fabric, creating one cohesive flag. Instead of separating the two, Rabar has brought these two different cultures together. The strips of traditional Persian fabric are proof of the lasting impact that Iranian culture has had on Rabar's identity, and her choice of including in the flag delineates her affinity for that culture. The intermingling of the two cultures communicates Rabar's idea that it's not necessary to have one dominant or singular culture, but instead a harmonious mixing of the two. Furthermore, Rabar proposes that cultural assimilation does not require a complete rejection of past culture. Additionally, Rabar's use of vibrant colors such as yellow, green, pink, and blue show a celebration of her two cultures. They illustrate the excitement and vibrancy that accompanies living with a multicultural influence, and therefore the bright elements on the flag are an appreciation of Rabar's situation. Rabar views the melding of two cultures as something that should be celebrated, rather than something to be feared. However, the fact that both the American flag and the Persian materials are made of textiles is Rabar's way of demonstrating that culture is merely a construct. Even though fibers can be shaped and spun into different materials representative of different things, ultimately all materials are made of fibers. Likewise, regardless of the social construct of different cultures, at the end of the day we are all human. In Rabar's metaphor, the textiles represent people, and the materials are the cultures that we create. Therefore, Rabar suggests that culture needs not be so divisive, and that unity should come from the fact that we are all human. Hence, through her extract, Rabar portrays cultural assimilation to be a positive thing that should be celebrated. Moving on to Rabar's body of work, meaning her flag series, it can be seen that Rabar incorporates similar techniques in order to reinforce her celebration of multiculturalism and acceptance. The absence of text, such as in the flag The Fortune Teller, or the minimal use of text in the flag God Bless America, is a common style choice that is seen throughout this body of work. Because of this, Rabar focuses on the big picture, the artwork as a whole. This means that the emphasis of Rabar's work lies in the ways its different elements come together, rather than in the individual small elements such as text. This cohesion reflects Rabar's attitudes towards her mixing of cultures and cohesion between different groups of people. Also, her minimal approach to text may be because words are specific to a language and hence can be divisive between nationalities. By choosing not to incorporate text, Rabar creates inclusive pieces that can be appreciated by anyone, regardless of nationality or culture, helping to bridge cultural gaps. Also, many of the flags in the series, such as I Don't Trust You Anymore and A Time of Anxiety, incorporate warfare elements, such as guns, bullets, and armor as a common style feature. These war pieces incorporated into the flag suggest a cultural rift and violence between the two countries. Rabar's flag seems to lament this rift by trying to weave the two together, but acknowledging the fact that they are divided. In these flags, Rabar protests against the violence between the two countries and a lack of acceptance for each other's cultures. More obviously, however, is Rabar's consistent use of the flag motif. The flag is an easy way to identify nationality, which ties you to a certain culture. By creating a multicultural flag, Rabar challenges the idea that culture is singular, and demonstrates her pride in belonging to two different countries. Overall, throughout her body of work, Rabar exhibits the ability to accept and celebrate the influence of two different cultures on one's own identity, and proposes the idea that cultural assimilation does not require complete rejection of past culture, but instead an integration of it. In contrast, Huxley proposes a negative view on cultural assimilation in his novel Brave New World. Through the character John, Huxley explores the idea that adapting to a new culture is difficult, especially if it is very different from the one that you were brought up in. I'll begin by examining this through an extract of chapter 15, which is situated in a hospital. Throughout the extract, Huxley creates an angry tone and constructs intense and violent atmosphere, conveyed by Huxley's use of the words hatred and rage. Huxley describes how John is exasperated and throwing insults while shouting. This would not be the case if John was accepting of the world state's culture and wanted to be a part of it. His anger is demonstrative of his disdain for the world state and is proof of his rejection of it. Next, in line 18, Huxley describes how John begins to throw soma pills out of the hospital window. Soma is a symbol for the happiness-seeking culture and the value of instant gratification in the world state. It is an integral part of its society as it is ingrained into everyday life, and hence is very distinctive of its culture. Therefore, the act of throwing away soma is an act of rebellion. Huxley creates a metaphor comparing the discarding of soma to John's rejection of the world state. Furthermore, in line 1, John is referred to as a savage. The appointment of this nickname is evidence of John's inability to integrate and fit in with the world state citizens. Huxley illustrates how John has brought with him the values and characteristics of the reservation, and was so different from everyone else that he's considered to be mad and required a new name. In this context, the differences between John and the citizens is not seen as a positive thing, as made evident by the savage nickname, which has primal connotations of a beast, of a monster. As a result, John is stereotyped and alienated. As an extension of this idea, Huxley describes how John lacks a connection with the world state citizens and feels very unattached to them. This is seen when John describes the people in a hospital as a khaki mob, which shows how he doesn't recognize or identify anyone. Also, John describes the citizens as babies and monsters, which shows how he feels very separate from them, and this is further proof that he is not assimilated into their culture. Therefore, Huxley describes how both sides view the other as very strange and monster-like. Connecting this extract to the novel as a whole, it is evident that this is not the only chapter where Huxley demonstrates the difficulties of cultural assimilation and the dangers of not doing so. Huxley foreshadows John's complete rejection of the world state in chapter 11, where he becomes physically ill after meeting the Bokanovsky group workers in the conditioning center. This act of retching is a physical display of John's immediate negative response to the way in which society functions in the world state, and is a biological rejection of this. Huxley repeats this act again in chapter 18, when John explains that he has vomited because he ate civilization and that this poisoned him. Elsewhere, Huxley's characterization of John as an outsider further highlights how he's not adopting the values of the place that he has migrated to. This is seen in chapter 13 as an example, when he confesses his love for Lenina and suggests they should get married. John's views on love are molded from his experience on the reservation, and hence is representative of the culture there. Huxley juxtaposes the characterization of Lenina as a model citizen of the world state in order to symbolize these contrasting values and views. The world state favors polyamory, frowns upon strong feelings like love, and pushes the view that everybody belongs to everybody. For this reason, Huxley describes Lenina as very confused, as she can't understand John's point of view. And thus Huxley is able to demonstrate that John's values are not representative of the culture that he has migrated to. Also, through John and Lenina's fast-paced dialogue and irritated tones, Huxley presents the frustrations and conflicts that can arise as a result of a lack of acceptance for different ideals. Finally, Huxley ends the novel in chapter 18 with a series of events which culminate in John committing suicide. Huxley creates a shocking image of John dangling from the ceiling to illustrate the devastating consequences of the inability to merge two cultures. Here, the act of taking his own life is an embodiment of John's ultimate rejection of the world state. Also, through John's jarring suicide, Huxley is able to highlight and reveal the inner conflict with John, which John faced, overwhelmed by trying to remain true to a set of values which were too different from the ones that surrounded him. Therefore, in his novel Brave New World, Huxley describes what the rejection of a culture and place that one has migrated to looks like, and delineates the consequences of this, including alienation and suicide. In conclusion, Rabar and Huxley present two different views on cultural assimilation. Rabar believes that two cultures can coexist within one person and become merged into one culture. On the other hand, Huxley describes a clash between two cultures that can't coexist, and shows cultural assimilation to be near impossible. There is a choice, to accept or reject a culture, and Rabar chooses acceptance as the better alternative. Rabar intermingles her two cultures and thrives, while John rejects one culture and dies. Therefore, acceptance brings peace, while rejection creates conflict, both within and with others. This global issue of culture and identity is significant, as countless conflicts have been created over cultural differences, and many fears towards immigrants stem from the different cultures which they bring with them from previous homes. This is a current and universal problem that is only increasing with globalization. If only everyone held Rabar's views, perhaps variations in culture wouldn't need to be so divisive.
Thank you. So my first question was going to be, who do you think's right? But you kind of answered that at the end. Why do you think Rabar is right in the way in which she's presenting cultural assimilation?
I think her positive view is more optimistic, and I think it more really simulates real life, because not everyone who migrates ends up committing suicide. I think alienation does happen to a certain extent, but I think it also depends on the person who is migrating.
And yet we know, and you as a third culture kid, know assimilation is difficult. Why?
Because you're torn between knowing the values of what you're supposed to be and the values of the place that you are in, which are different, and so it's difficult to merge them two together, which John also faces in the novel.
Good. So let's go ahead and look at Brave New World then.
Okay.
Can you look at the extract, please? And
yes.
Can you look at lines 11, 12, and 13, starting with "Don't you want?" Can you go ahead and read that out loud, those three lines, and talk about Huxley's choices here and the effect on the reader?
Don't you want to be free and men? Don't you even understand what manhood and freedom are? So Huxley uses two rhetorical questions, and these are very provocative, and Huxley allows John to vent his frustrations and his revulsion of the world state in highlighting the different values that he finds that the world state lacks, and also the anaphora of "don't you" is also very provocative and confrontational.
Good. How does that connect to the last two lines of your passage?
In the last two lines of the passage, Bernard, who is a citizen of the world state, he's saying that he's mad. So it shows what the world state citizens think of him. And in these two lines before, John was saying what he thinks of the world state citizens. So both of them are confronting what each other thinks of
them. Why can't they assimilate in this novel? Or why is Huxley not allowing them to assimilate?
Because I think the values that each other holds are complete polar opposites, and it's too different and too shocking to allow John to culturally assimilate.
And yet if we look at Sarah Rabar, Iranian and American culture are very different. What allows her to assimilate?
Perhaps the young age that she migrated to the United States has an impact on that, because she hasn't fully grown up in an Iranian environment. It doesn't affect her identity to the same extent as it did John's.
And so what's the difference between the two of them? The fictional character John versus the real person and the artist?
Their beginning situations and their end situations are both different, because they both start at different places. And in the novel, John is constantly an outsider, so perhaps he clings to the reservation society as he spent so long trying to assimilate into their society, and then it's too tiresome to assimilate again.
And yet, if we look at Sarah Rabar, she does. Can you connect that assimilation with the title of this piece?
Memories Without Recollection. So it shows that she has memories of Iran, but perhaps she doesn't fully recollect them, and that she can't remember being there herself and living completely in the moment there.
And yet, it's this wonderful, as you say, kind of multicultural celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because it shows how she has been able to merge her two cultures, and she has thrived, and it has brought her good. And she is able to live on in America with influences of both, which are different, but ultimately enrich her life.
Good. But she's also a realist. Can you talk about the tension between some of the more overtly warlike pieces in the flags that she's created and this one?
Well, in the warlike pieces, it is more realistic in that she shows what is actually going on. in terms of the violence and cultural tensions. But in this flag, she's saying what she wishes it would be like. And for her, this is the case that she was able to assimilate and merge them together peacefully.
And how does this connect with identity, and what's the implications of how her identity is so important on a global level?
Identity is important because it's something that you carry with you throughout your life and wherever you go. And if people aren't accepting of your identity, it can be very hard, like John. And you can be alienated, which is seen in the case of migrants and refugees in the real world context.
Thank you. That's the end of this examination.